The Lewis Environmental Studies Center at Oberlin College is not your average college building. The curved roof of the building, designed by architect William McDonough, holds a massive array of solar panels that soak up the sun's energy and convert it to electricity for heat and light. Instead of sending wastewater to the local sewage plant, the building has its own on-site treatment facility that uses biological components, called a living machine, for final cleansing. Outside, a small wetland recreates the natural ecosystem on which Oberlin was built. Even the building's materials were made from sustainable resources designed to have little or no impact on the environment or human health. None of it is cutting-edge technology, but the Lewis Center does integrate multiple ecological design concepts that work together to make it environmentally friendly. It's one of just a handful of so-called high-performance buildings now beginning to dot the American landscape. In addition, it's a building that was designed to evolve as new technologies came along. It's no wonder Professor David Orr, the building's originator, claimed bragging rights even before the center opened.
This is a building that purifies its own wastewater, powers itself by sunlight, has eliminated toxic chemicals and compounds. It was designed, in short, as the kind of place in which classes would be held, but would also function in a larger way to be educational by the way it was operated and by the way it was built.
But one man takes issue with the high-performance claims the building's creators have made. John Schofield is also an Oberlin professor. He teaches in the physics department and focuses his research on solar energy. Schofield says even before the center was built, it was clear the building's basic design was flawed.
The architect has said on several occasions that the building is designed to generate more energy than it uses, and I don't believe that's correct.
Schofield's primary critique is of the building's energy systems, particularly those devoted to heating and cooling. He says there's a real disconnect between what the designers claim the building can accomplish and the way it's actually performing.
Well, I think, first of all, the building springs out of some wonderful ideas, and I very much support the design intent for the building. No, my concern has been, I think, false hopes, that the promises for the building and the way that it was sold were, I think, not really in line with the reality of the building for a long time.
Well, I think one thing you have to consider is the difference between a long-term goal and short-term performance.
John Peterson is a professor in the Environmental Studies program. He oversees the center's day-to-day functions.
I mean, I think where we are right now is in a good spot right now. I think we can take a lot of pride in how the building is performing right now. This last year, for instance, we exported a fair amount of energy onto the grid. We also imported a lot of energy onto the grid, but on balance, we produced 53% of the energy that was consumed in the building.
Peterson admits there were some design flaws in the Lewis Center's heating system when it was first put online. The college has just replaced a high-energy consumption electric boiler with a more energy-efficient heat pump, which is the building's primary source of heat. Last year, slightly more than half the building's energy consumption went to heating during what proved to be a relatively mild winter. Even though the net energy use was 37% better than other Oberlin campus buildings, the college has called on the National Renewable Energy Laboratory for help in improving the system. Paul Torsellini is a senior engineer with the lab's high-performance building group in Golden, Colorado. He says considering it's a building designed to push the outside of the envelope, the Lewis Center is performing well.
There's certainly issues with that building as well as any other building that we build today. You know, one of the things with building engineering, which is, you know, a little different than, say, building a car, is you build a car and you build lots of them, as opposed to buildings where every time you build a building, it's basically a custom application.
And so each building comes with unique problems. The High Performance Group team is expert in innovative building design. Torsellini says over the next few months he'll be evaluating just exactly how well the energy components of the Lewis Center perform, monitoring both the energy that's being created and the energy that's being used by the building's different systems. Along with Torsellini, critic John Schofield believes the building can eventually make good on its promise to produce more energy than it uses.
There's a great case now for net energy exporters called the space station. So if cost is no object, it's not a problem making a net energy exporter.
But Paul Torsellini says it all comes down to how you measure success.
You know, somewhere in the order of, 40-50% of the energy comes off the roof of that building. What other building in Oberlin or in the state of Ohio even comes close to thinking about that?
More hard data will be needed to calculate the Lewis Center's overall performance. Everyone is looking forward to a scientific peer review process that should help clarify the building's performance achievements. But even if it's not exactly perfect, both supporters and critics of the Lewis Environmental Studies Center hope the building will prove to be a good investment in scientific and educational research. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Karen Schaefer in Oberlin.